Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I want to start out by this morning by telling a story of a 74-year-old woman who jumped out of an airplane. Seriously, she did it. It's a really lovely story, and as is the case with most good stories, it's a mix of equal parts heartache and hope. We never learn the name of this woman in the story, but after 50 years of marriage, her seemingly fit and healthy husband was diagnosed with a rare and deadly form of stomach cancer, and within weeks, he was dead. And she was alone. Of course, the woman was devastated. She and her husband, Eli, had shared everything. Everything in life they had shared together. So after his death, she felt so stuck. For months, she suffered this all-consuming grief. It was a grief so potent that even her favorite foods lost their taste. And it was a challenge most days just to leave the house. Then one day, all of a sudden, this 74-year-old mother and grandmother decided that her next logical step forward was to jump out of an airplane. You might be wondering why, and you should be. Because it's the why that makes this seemingly nonsensical story of an older woman skydiving to deal with the death of her beloved husband so beautiful. But let me back up a little bit first. I was recently listening to one of my favorite podcasts called Invisibilia, and I don't know where I was, but I was only left to deal with things that were already downloaded on my phone, so I found myself listening to an older episode, one that I'd listened to but forgotten about. And the story that I heard is actually about one of the producer's mother. And on that same episode, there's another story about bees and Russian mobsters, which is equally fascinating. But that's for another sermon. The framework of the entire episode was focused on what is the best way to lose? As in, what happens when the thing that holds your world together suddenly disappears? How do you move forward? How do we as people deal with loss? And so naturally, I started thinking about Mary Magdalene because I'm just that cool. But just for a second, join me in a little biblical nerdery, okay? The way the Gospel of John tells it, on Easter morning you have Mary Magdalene, who is distraught and despondent. She's headed to the tomb, and it's still dark, which is understandable. The unimaginable has just happened. Jesus, this one whom she loves, the one whom she expected great things of, the one whom she believed to be the Messiah, was dead and buried. And it still didn't make sense. And so the only thing that she could imagine to do was go to the tomb. Because death is real, and death had won. And there at the tomb, she is greeted by the supernatural. But she can't see it. She is greeted by angels sitting in the very place where the body of her beloved teacher should have been. She then is discovered by Jesus himself, but she mistakes him for the gardener. Because Mary is so consumed by the reality of her grief that there is no room for anything else. There's no space in her worldview, even for the resurrected Jesus. But can you blame her? It might be easy from where we sit 2,000 years later, very familiar with this story, to think that we could have put the puzzle pieces together. It seems easier somehow from this distance to think that we would have understood and trusted in what was unfolding around Mary. But most days we're stuck too, just like Mary. We get confounded by the status quo. We struggle to imagine new possibilities in the face of what is, whether that's in our relationships, or at work, in our politics, in the systems and structures that sometimes seem to benefit some at the expense of others. We have no room for something new, something different. And we certainly have no space for the supernatural, for God to do the inconceivable. We are like Mary. We come to the tomb when it's still dark. We, like Mary, can't imagine anything else than what we know. We, like Mary, know that death is powerful and final and tends to catch up with all of us in the end. And we, like Mary, like to look for the logical reason behind it all. But our God isn't one for logic. Our God isn't sensical. In Jesus, we see the reckless and unhinged and uncontainable love of God that shatters our notion of what is possible, making way for life, even when it's still dark. We have a God who calls us out of our grief and pain-induced stupor to begin to imagine new possibilities. And it's through those tears that we glimpse the one whom the grave couldn't even keep from us. It turns out that Eli, our skydiving grandma's husband, was a paratrooper in the Israeli army. He had this role before his family emigrated to the United States. And in a life in which every inch was walked together, this was the one thing that they had never shared together, jumping out of a plane. So nearly a year after her husband's death, this woman chartered a plane. She told her daughter that she wanted to do it up there because thousands of feet from the ground, she believed that she and her husband would be able to say hello and that she would tell them that they would be able to meet again someday. And so as the plane climbed higher and higher, she sat quite still, with her lips moving, whispering to herself, "I love you, Eli, I love you. I miss you, Eli, I miss you. I'm doing this for you." And then when the plane got to the desired altitude and the door of the airplane opened and the cold wind whipped in, she moved to the door, lips continuing to whisper, but only this time she said, "I feel you, Eli. I feel you with me. I really do." And then she jumped. Dear ones, Jesus is calling to you through the darkness. He's calling to you by name. In Jesus, God has shared every inch of this life with us, even our death. And in turn, God has given to us every part of God's own life. It's yours, now and forever, no matter what. So come up to the table and taste and see just how much God loves you. Amen.